What's up, guys? I'm Rip, joined with JDCR. How you doing, man?
Hey, I'm good, Rip.
All right, we are here for Winner's Mindset Episode 3. In this episode, we're going to be talking about game balance. Now, balance, of course, matters across all genres of video games and in real life as well. You know, video games, you know, whether it's a first-person shooter like Valorant or Counter-Strike or Overwatch, or an RTS like StarCraft or Warcraft, etc. Of course, in fighting games, you know, Tekken, Street Fighter, Guilty Gear, whatever it is, game balance is very important, right? Now, of course, even in real-world sports, like if you have something like swimming, you know, people are always going to take whatever advantages they can get. And so an example of this is, you know, in the Olympics in 2008, they had these special swimsuits that people were using. They had, like, polyurethane and neoprene. And after those suits were, like, kind of controversial because 200 world records are broken. So it was kind of like an uneven playing field, right? Like, and that was clearly, hey, man, something's up with this. And then in the world of running, I guess, you know, Nike released these shoes. They were, like, Nike Zoom Vaporfly 4% or the Vaporfly Next percent. They had, like, some kind of carbon plate inside them. And, you know, these marathon runners who run for, like, 2 hours set new records, right? And apparently it was 4 to 5% faster. So it's, like, clearly a competitive advantage, right? When you're looking at, like, a two-hour race, if you're 4% faster, that's minutes that you're faster than someone else just because of the stuff you're using, right? But, of course, this isn't necessarily about, like, the hardware use. It's more about the actual sport itself, right? So basically the point is anything competitive, people are going to try to take an edge on their opponent, right? Whatever they can do to get the winning edge. So let's talk about game balance. Somebody's dog is going crazy out there. Let's ignore that. But let's talk about, like, in video games and fighting game, what makes a strong character?
So what makes a strong character in video game? Of course, it's a game system. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So characters depends on the game system. So for example, right now, Tekken 7, you know, there are some systems that have been in the game forever, low parry, or half kick, or maybe downfall two, maybe.
Yeah.
And then combo, the wall carry, and more, of course, yeah?
Yeah.
So, movement as well, sidestep and backdash. So, for example, movement, sidestep has been getting nerfed, right?
Right.
And then sidestep, and then low parry, this game, Tekken 7 F4, low parry is better than before, better than the last Tekken. And then half kick, some characters have super good half kick.
Some of them have like crazy good range, right? Like Claudio or Shaheen or something.
Yeah. So, the screw system, it was before bound system, you know? Right. So my character for Armor King Heihachi, bound takes advantage.
Okay.
Because, you know, something lucky, something luck, maybe, you know, the situation where let's say where he jump on my down two or whatever.
Oh, I see. You get a small combo out of that, but you don't get combo. That.
Yeah, yeah. This is also game system. So,
So basically what you're saying is the game systems kind of define what makes a strong character in that game. And for Tekken specifically, it's stuff like, you know, the low parry system, the screw system, things like a hop kick or down forward two, you mentioned, like, it's not really a system thing, but it's in the current game, right? It's these things are very strong in the current version of the game compared to like older versions of the game. Like if you go back to Tekken Tag 1, hop kicks aren't that good, right? In Tekken 6 onward, maybe Tekken 5 onward, hop kicks started getting more and more better, right? Like, I don't know how to explain that, but I think the crush system got better in Tekken 5. You know, I think in Tekken Tag 1, you could down jab and it would beat a hop kick sometimes, you know, just it didn't work the way you would expect it to. So definitely those systems are what differentiate and make a character stronger, right? Some of the stuff, I mean, you know, you mentioned hop kicks, right? Some of the characters that have the best hop kicks in the game, like Claudio, Shaheen, King, Lucky Chloe. Lucky Chloe is kind of a weird one because it's like launch punishable, but it goes through so many things, right?
Yeah.
And then you got characters that have really good wall carry.
Wall carry, yeah.
Like just for your combos, right? Because and people have been complaining about that a lot in Season 3. Specifically, they said, you know, they made these combos or these characters have so much more wall carry. Now, everybody has good wall carry. So if your character doesn't, then you might have a weaker character, right?
That's Heihachi and Eddie. And then, Heihachi and Eddie. They low parry, and then the combo from low parry makes okay damage, but wall carry pretty, you know, it's nothing compared to others. So this is also game system.
Right. And, you know, other, I mean, some of the characters who have, like, the best wall carry in the game, who do you think?
Li Chaolang, Dragunov, Fakum Lang, Nina. You know, wall carry is only for Nina before.
Yeah. All just butterfly, yeah. Hard execution. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. But it was, it was actually hard.
Right.
You know, but right now, it's FR kind of easy for everybody.
Yeah, exactly. And then Dragunov is pretty good too, right? That was one of the ones in Season 3 that got a lot better. Julia, yeah. Ridiculous wall carry.
Oh, yeah.
Laws is not bad, I think. You know, it's all right. It's pretty simple and gets pretty far. Jin with his rage drive is stupid. It's like, and then another system mechanic we talked about a little bit was movement to separate characters, right?
Yeah.
You know, there was this awesome chart and data spreadsheet thing that came on Reddit. I forgot the person who made it. I'm sorry, but I will put the link to it down below inside the video description. So make sure you guys check that out. But they had this chart that basically showed the distance that the characters backdash in the first 16 frames of the backdash. So the first part of the backdash, who goes the farthest? And by far, Zafina is like number one, right? And on top of that, or second or close to that was like Fakumram was up there as well. Dragunov, surprisingly, was in the top list there, as well as like Kazumi. Definitely check that out, guys. That's going to be a very good tool to show you which characters have some of the best backdashing in the game. What were you going to say?
And actually, I was going to say that. I'm going to say that when you say movement, we only think about sidestep and backdash. But I think that there's one more factor. I don't know how should I call it, like forward guiding, maybe crouching and up.
Crouching and standing?
Crouching and standing.
Mm-hmm. Like, you in know, between that? Like,
yeah.
Is
yeah.
that not the same for every character?
It's not, it's different, right?
I don't
I
know.
Feel like it's different.
Okay, I don't have the frame data, man. Somebody's got to tell me.
I don't have frame data, but, you know, I play kind of, you know, many characters, right? So it feels like for Dragunov has got faster crouching up.
Really?
Yeah, and
like
Kazumi
the while standing?
Also, while standing.
Okay.
And Kazumi for sure. Mm-hmm. Kazumi for sure. But Armor King definitely not good.
Really? And you're talking about just switching between crouching and standing. You're not even talking about like doing an attack like while standing four.
Only the movement, like crouching and standing.
That's very interesting. I've never heard anyone talk about Tekken in that way, talking about the difference in speed between crouching and standing between different characters.
I think that the frame might be actually the same, but the overall, the feeling, like the characters are very light. The Kazumi is very light compared to Armor King,
That's interesting. That's news to me, man.
Like
when I play like Kazumi back, you know, I remember like she feels, like you said, very light. I don't know what it is about it that makes her feel that way. I don't know if it's the backdash and sidestep, but I've never noticed between characters crouching and standing feeling very different. That's just me, you know.
Yeah, but you have watched the many Kazumi players that who does the this stuff. You also have watched my Kazumi as well. Mm-hmm. The forge guarding, you know.
Yeah.
That's the skill I like to do with some fast characters. But I don't do that much with Armor King because it feels very heavy.
Really? I don't know, man. Maybe it's because Armor King has that crouch dash, like the wave.
Okay. Also, it's same for Mishima. Kazuya is heavier than Devilsin and Heihachi.
Okay. It's interesting to me. I don't think we're going to come to like a conclusion without someone else to get it to data.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
But that's something to be aware of at least, right? But that's cool. That's a good point to break up. We'll see if someone can give us some information on that later. If you guys know anything, drop it in the comments below. Let us know. Let's move on though, right? Other things that make characters good in Tekken specifically, right? It's not even just Tekken specifically. It's just things in general across all fighting games. Usually, if a character does big damage in their combos, it's usually something like, oh, guys, this is a really strong character. Like, this character does big damage, this character does small damage. This one's better. You know, that's usually a big thing, right? In Tekken, it's characters like Akuma with meter, right? Or Geese with meter. Fakumram, his damage, what do you think?
Fakumram damage, I think his damage is pretty strong, too. Like, normal combo makes 75 damage or 80 damage, which is pretty high in Tekken.
Yeah, and then you've got characters like Paul, who's pretty high as well. A lot of people complain about Paul. It's the same thing. Season 3, you know, a lot of people saying, hey, there's a lot of high damage in this game now. So definitely, though, that is a differentiator when you look at game balance, right? big damage that a combo character does. Also, you know, the comeback mechanic that the character has. Like, do they have good rage drives? It's specifically in Sakurai. Rage drives. If you look at Street Fighter, it's stuff like a good V trigger. If you're looking at Killer Instinct, it's stuff like a good instinct comeback mode, right? They're all kind of the same kind of mechanic to come back. Then you've got easy movement, long reach. You know, I think that that goes back to movement we were talking about, you know, playing neutral with the character. Some characters just have better tools at longer ranges, right? Like Fakumram is a good example because he's got such long limbs and everything, right? So it's hard to avoid him and stay out of his range. In Tekken, another thing is just low moves, right? What do you think about low moves in Tekken, how that differentiates between some characters and other characters?
So a few days ago, I asked my friend that, hey, I was preparing for this show, you know. So I wanted to know balance opinion from others. So actually, I asked my friend that, hey, how would you rank my character Armoken Heihachi? And then he's like, they're pretty bad, man.
What?
He's like, they're pretty bad, man. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. At first, they said okay, Armoken Heihachi, they look fine because you know you play them. So I was like, okay. Then what about the normal Armor King, normal Heihachi? Not my Armor King, not my Heihachi. And he was like, dude, I would like meet them forever in tournament. So easy. So I asked why. So he talked about the low move that he said that they are impossible to make comeback.
That's interesting.
Heihachi and Armor King. That is true.
I think for Heihachi, it's definitely harder. But I think for Armor King, with his rage drive, it's not bad, right?
Yeah, only rage drive. But in terms of low move, he has got nothing.
No. Like toe kick. Right? Yeah, otherwise very risky down back three or something.
True, yeah. Something like that. So low move matters a lot. No, Fakumram, so Armor King... I'm not going to talk about Armor King, but Fakumram makes huge damage with like small, like easy input. Fast, low kick,
Right, but it's very punishable.
But still, okay. What about down 4-3, which is -13? Yeah, 13.
That's still kind of bad. I mean, if it was -12, it'd be good, you know. But I don't know. Okay. I mean, it's definitely something to consider, right? Like, I think I looked at just Ganryu the other night, and I forget it's down 4 or down back 4, but it's -14. You know, so it's a good chunky long range low. It's a counter hit launcher. Right, but it's -14, so there's a trade-off there, right? So obviously some characters have, like, if you have, in my opinion, if your character has a counter hit, a combo starting low poke, that is good. If it's supposed to be just a low poke, most characters cannot launch it, and it's a counter hit launcher, that's great. You know, I don't think those should even exist in Tekken. Like, Jin's down back four used to be counter hit launcher. They took it out, right? So now Ganryu has something like that with his low kick. I think his is down back four too, I'm pretty sure. But it's only on counter hit. But if you block it, -14, some characters can launch it, some can't. So I think it's actually another differentiator when you look at, you know, overall game balance, right? Also, risk-reward management with characters, right? Like, good risk-reward. I'm trying to think of an example of this. But basically, if you have very safe options, it's very good for a character, right? If you have moves that cover a lot of options, you know, then it's also a good tool to have. A really good example of this from Tekken 7, very recent, everyone remembers Leroy when he came out. When he came there were just so many things. It's like, that's just going to do everything, you know? Even if you go back even further back from that, when Tekken 7 first came to console, I don't even know if it was in console yet, actually.
Okay.
When Claudio had forward three, right? For Claudio's forward three, it used to be mid, low crush. Combo on counter hit, you know, like counter hit launcher and safe on block. Yeah. So it's like, why wouldn't you do this? It also has good range, right? So it's safe on block, it goes over lows, it's a homing attack, so they can't sidestep it. And it's a counter hit launcher, it's like, it does like everything, right? So stuff like that where it just covers like lots of options and it's safe. It's just, man, risk reward is so good with those type of moves, right? So that's another differentiator. Yeah. One of the things you brought up though, you know, when we were talking about this, was efficiency of the character, right? Like how much energy you have to spend when playing a certain character being a factor in, you know, how strong or weak a character is. Like, talk a little bit about that, like between like something like Mishima's versus like Leroy or Kazumi or something.
Yeah, exactly. You said Mishima and Leroy and Kazumi. It's easy. The comment, they have to, the input comment, you know, Mishima, they, of course, they require skills a lot, right? you know, the wave dashing, electric skis, and also sidestep, of course. And then also they are likely more to make more mistake as well because of the common input. Yeah. Right. And then Kazumi, Leroy, oh man, so easy comment. They are not gonna make any mistake for sure, mm-hmm. of course. So tournament, of course, which requires like huge, a lot of energy and mental energy and like focusing as well. So I really don't like I make mistake like with punishing with the electric. Sometimes just my down to comes out. Man, I want to kill myself. But let's see, Kazumi. He just like half kick down mm-hmm. for one plus down for one two.
Right.
This is I would call it efficiency maybe or energy spending something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's hard to calculate, right? Because in a tournament setting, when you think about it that way, versus just playing at home in your underwear, you know, it's a different kind of wear and tear on your brain, you know, because in tournament you're playing across like 6 or 8 hours in one day sometimes.
Yeah.
So if you're playing a Mishima and you have to wave dash constantly, like you're literally gonna have like physical strain in your body, you know, like your left arm that's doing all this wave dash because you don't play on a hitbox or a cheatbox or whatever, you know, you're getting tired doing that. But then if you're playing Kazumi, you got your back dash cancel and stuff, sure, but it's much less taxing on you physically and mentally, right? Just trying to execute everything on point. So I think that's a really good point about, you know, differentiators between characters when you're looking at the game balance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I also want to mention that speaking of this, you know, efficiency balance, whatever, like this topic, they are easy characters who can create the situation kind of easily compared to others. Or some mm-hmm. character who can force 50-50 mix up easily. Mm-hmm. Let's say Paul. Lars, maybe? Maybe Paul and Lars?
Mm-hmm. Why do you think Lars, though?
I mean, he has got like 50-50 or 4-4-4-4-4-3, down back mm-hmm. 4, like more mid, more low, let's say. But right. let's bring up to maybe Armor King.
Okay.
He is kind of different character, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But or like efficiency to be maybe stronger character. Let's say there are worse characters, stronger player. I mean, worse player, stronger character. The mm-hmm. Lars will take more chance for this matchup because he has got more 50-50 mix-up efficiency.
So you think that having better 50-50 mix-up makes a character stronger or weaker? Which one?
Sometimes stronger, sometimes.
Sometimes only though, right?
Yeah.
So how do you determine whether it's stronger? You know what I mean? Like, I have a hard time saying that, you know, because this character has 50-50 mix up, like, say, Paul, right? He's got Demo Man or Shredder Kicks, right? Or Death Fist, right? It's like, how do you say this makes Paul better than another character just because he has also this 50-50 game? You know, I think it's very hard to say, right?
Yeah, it's very. I just say sometimes, but of course, much better than having the
none
tools.
Of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good point. So I think overall we're talking about, you know, when you're looking at a fighting game, you look at the system of the fighting game. You say, what are the tools in this fighting game that make a character strong, right? And which characters use these systems the best, right? So if in Tekken we talked about, you know, low parry, hop kicks, movement, stuff like homing attacks, you know, comeback mechanics like rage drives. You know, their efficiency in terms of, you know, how much effort you have to put into it, their, what do you call it, their risk reward, you know, how many safe options they have that cover multiple options, you know, and I think you have to kind of look at all of those things for all the characters, and also whether they do big damage. I think those are all very important. Is there anything else in Tekken that we missed from everything I just said right now to make a good character, or that you use to differentiate between good characters and weak characters?
I think that we talk about everything Tekken system.
I think so. I think that's the majority of it, right? If we missed something, it's probably something that matters as well. So if you guys missed anything...
I got one thing, one idea.
Okay, what is it?
Slow breaker easier now.
That's true.
And then Tekken system is easier now.
Mm-hmm.
So better players, they take advantage of these mechanics. But now these mechanics are gone. So better players, boom.
Then better players go boom too.
Boom. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think, yeah, so what you're saying is the because these system mechanics are weaker now, the skill level of the game is lower. Like, the highest you can be, like, the top tier you could be is a notch lower. But the flip side of that is that some characters still have options for Oki and still have better throw games.
I just told you about the like players when I say better players, but of course it applies for characters.
Yeah, no, definitely, right? Yeah. So the new characters in Tekken 7, they don't have command grabs, right? Like, there's not like this one is only a one grab, it's only a two grab. All the new characters that they add in Tekken 7, you can hit either button, right? Doesn't matter, left arm forward, right arm forward, either button always works, right? Like, you go back to the older characters though, like Paul, he's got back 1+4 for one throw. He's got 2+4 back for a two throw. He's got down forward 1+2 for a 1+2 grab, right? He's got every single option covered. You know, Law has his DSS grab for a two. He's got his run up grab for a one, or his launching grab for a 1+2. So that's definitely something that differentiates characters too, right? Just having a better or stronger throw game. Of course, characters like King and Armor King, you know, without even having to mention, they have a stronger throw game than most other characters because they got the multi grabs, etc. too, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So definitely throw is important. Oki system is also something that's good. You know, wall system, you know, how characters take advantage of those things. You know, there's obviously some characters that are better with opponent's wall, with opponent's back to the wall. So all those things matter. But yeah, so I think that's the majority of what you have to look at when you're looking at game balance on a character basis, right? Character to character. Let's talk a little bit, though, you know, about what you currently think about Tekken 7, right? There's been a lot of talk recently in the community about the balance of the game, the direction of the game, whatever. What does JDCR think about Tekken 7's balance currently?
Damn, when I think of Tekken 7 balance, I always have two perspectives, which is my perspective and casual player's perspective.
Okay. What's your perspective?
Me, I'm also a casual player, but I compete more than them, you know. So I have to consider tournament, you know, the balance for tournament as well. Right. So this means from this perspective, I think there are obviously strong characters and worse characters.
Right.
But for casual players, I think the balance seems good.
So right now, from what I'm understanding, you think
for the
casual player, the game is totally fine. For the tournament player, you're saying they're definitely stronger characters and weaker characters. But, like, do you think that's a major problem for tournaments right now? We obviously don't even really have tournaments right now. But if we did, have tournaments right now, do you think that would be a major problem? The current state of the tournaments? The current state of the balance in the game?
I would call it's not a problem, but this is, like, some situation, maybe. Would you call it a problem? Like, there is a tournament, and then we see, of course, same characters, maybe only five or ten characters. Is that a problem?
I think if we had five, it's a problem. I think if you
what about 10?
10 in the top 8, that's great, you know. I mean, 10 in the entire tournament, that's a problem, right? In a game that has like 50 characters, whatever, I think it's 59 or 58 or something right now. If you have only 10 characters being used in the entire tournament, that's a problem, I think. But if you have like almost every character being used and the roster is so big, I'm not sure there's a real problem there. If you go back to Evo Japan this year, where we had like 5 or 6 Leroys in the top 8, that's a problem, right? That was clearly a problem, right?
Yeah.
But so do you think the balance, I mean, okay, if we say that Evo Japan 2020 was a problem, right?
Yeah.
With Leroy, do you think that we still have a problem right now with Tekken 7? Balance.
We don't have a tournament now, but we will have problem.
You think right now we still have a problem
with the balance? Yes, I think. Yes.
Okay, so going from that, you know, Arslan Ash recently said that he thinks Falkenrahm is the best in the game. He says a lot of players in Pakistan think Falkenrahm is the best in the game. Do you think Falkenrahm is the best in the game? Do you agree or disagree?
I agree with the opinion.
Okay. So Falkenrahm, best character in the game?
At the moment, yes.
Why? Yes.
I don't know why. Because I think that he's rich. I mean, range, everything, superior than others. Combo damage is good. Low move, super good. Like, all the low moves, they make almost like 17 damage, 18 damage. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the 1-2, like basic look, tools, fundamentals, movement super good, hit box super mm-hmm. good.
Yeah, so, he's got really big back dash too, right? And his sidestep super good as well. Yeah, that's great. I mean, yeah, I'm really curious to see. I wish we had tournaments right now, just so we could see. But, you know, really quick, I want to go back. You know, you said that if we had tournaments right now that you think we'd have a problem. But do you think it would be as bad as it was when we had Leroy and Evo Japan? Or is it better?
Not really. Not like that. It's going to be like last year. You know, last year maybe we will see, I think, only top 5 or 6, 7 characters in top 8 or top 16. That's my opinion.
Okay. So let's move on from this then, right? I think a big question, obviously, we have somewhat balance in the game. If you look through the history of Tekken 7, I feel like the balance has shifted a little bit, but not a whole lot. Like, characters that are top are still kind of top. They haven't really nerfed a character to be like, oh, you used to be top, now you're bottom tier. You know, there hasn't been drastic tier changes for characters, right? But the question becomes, you know, why do we need balance, right? So, like, should every character be on the same tier? You know, is this the end goal of a fighting game?
I think that ideally we should have same tier, but that is impossible for the game, I think. Because all of these characters are supposed to have a different concept, fighting style, different tools, different hop kicks, different downfall two, different electric, different hair sweep,
Okay.
So it's very natural that they are, you know, of course, there should be there are a gap.
I see. So what about, you know, just for a tournament sake, right? Should every character be tournament viable? Like, should you be able to pick any character in the game and be like, I can win this tournament now because it doesn't matter? You know, do you think that's how it should be? You're just going to laugh at that?
No. My answer has been kind of, yes, there should be, we should see all the characters, you know, because it's my, maybe it's me that I watch other fighting game tournament. I mean, other fighting game tournament, then I want to see more characters. So I want to learn the game and I want to see, you know, how the players play, you know, the way they play. But on the other hand, I also want to have like, little bit or maybe more strong characters. So I want to see how other people, they beat this guy, this character. This is a kind of different story, you know?
That's true.
Yeah. So I like both way.
Do you think Tekken is at that point now, though, where you can pick any character and win a tournament?
No.
Definitely not. What if it's someone like Ni? Because Ni uses a ton of characters. You still think if you told Ni, hey, Ni, this tournament, you have to use this character, and he trained with that character for like one month, you don't think he could win the tournament?
No.
Really? Damn, that's exciting.
I mean, when you talk about like tournament leader, like character balance, we have to see like consistent win. Yeah?
Okay.
I can win one tournament with Armor King, maybe, but they like constantly? No, I don't think so.
Oh, I see. So you're talking about consistency with always winning. Yeah. I feel like it's so competitive, you know, and I feel like that's a good thing. And this is kind of a tangent a little bit, but, you know, when I was looking up and I was doing research for this episode about competitive balance, I was trying to relate it to like real sports and everything. And, you know, I was looking at how the NBA, Major League Baseball, so basketball, baseball, football, how these things look at balance. And I thought I was going to find these articles about like, oh, you know, in basketball, we looked at moving the three-point line back to make the things, you know, more fair or less fair, whatever. Turns out they don't care about any of the stuff. For them, it's not about the actual rules of the game. What they care about is league balance. Like, and it's league balance in terms of like how much salary cap the teams have and their picks for the draft, etc., to keep the league balanced, right? Because they want to see how many times a team makes it into like the playoffs and then how many teams have a chance at making it to the finals, etc. And then they look at that to say like, all right, look, we only have, you know, 8 teams that make it to the playoffs every year. The rest of the 30, whatever, all are trash. So that's bad balance because we have the same 8 teams that always make it, right? Yeah. So they're trying to make it so that any team has it there, can make it there. And it's a really interesting topic. So real sports, very different in that regard, I think. So when you think about that in terms of fighting games, You know, how many times do you see all these characters make top eight or something? If you think, trying to think of it that way, I feel like there's a lot of characters that you don't see making the top eight of a tournament, right? So is that considered bad balance? I don't know, because I feel like a lot of characters are viable. It's just that it sometimes depends on the players. Like if you were not a Heihachi Armaking player and you were a Nina player, and you were only Nina, you, JDCR, were only a Nina player, which I know your Nina sucks. I've seen that combo breaker, right? But if that was your main character, would Nina be considered a higher tier character because you would be doing, bringing her into top eight more often than other players could because you have more knowledge about the game overall?
No, no, not at all.
Really?
So bringing a character into top eight doesn't mean it's a good character. I never see somebody saying Armor King or Hei are good characters.
That's true. That's very true.
Yeah. Like also you and everyone is like, why are you playing Armor King? You gotta change.
You look so mad at me when you said that.
I mean, it's true. That's happening to me. Yeah.
Yeah.
And also you too.
No, I know. I know for sure.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, yeah, it sucks, right? Because look, everyone says Law is so good, and I can't win tournaments with him. You know, it makes me feel bad. But let's go. Let's move on here, right? Okay, so we talked about, you know, should characters be on the same tier? You think that's like a goal, you know, but it's hard to make happen, actually, right? It's pretty much impossible. It's like an end goal. You know, Harada has talked about that in the past. He said, look, if you want a perfect game balance, every character should be Kazuya. And then the game would be completely balanced, right? Because it would all be one character and that would be boring, right? No one wants to see that. So that was his argument against that, which I agree with, actually. And on that kind of similar topic, you know, do you think, to kind of help make that happen, that all characters should have same sort of tools? Like all characters should have a 12-frame knockdown punish. All characters should have a 14-frame launcher. All characters should have a hop kick. All characters should have a down for two. All characters should have a while standing whatever.
Definitely no. You know, earlier I said that I have two perspectives from tournament player and then casual player. I forgot to say that tournament players are this portion of Tekken community, maybe it's like very, very small, only few people.
Right.
Like 0.00000001% probably, yes.
Right.
And then actually people who are watching this show are also, we have to think that also very small portion of the whole Tekken players. Right. You know? Think about how many Tekken has been sold, you know, it's like almost 4 million. It's over 4 million.
I think it's 5 million now.
5 million? Yeah. Okay, so about top 16 is like 16 players over 5 million people.
Yeah, I mean, think about the number of entrants, right? I think the biggest Tekken tournament we've ever had is like 1,500 to 1,800 players, something like that, right? It's less than 2,000 for sure, right? That's the biggest tournament we've ever had for Tekken.
Okay.
In terms of number of players. And then 1,500 or whatever that is, or let's just say 2,000. 2,000 out of 5 million. Like, that's the actual percentage of, like, tournament players, right? It's probably a little bit more than that, whatever, like, if you look at the whole world, because they're not all at the same tournament at the same time. But you're looking at maybe 5,000 out of 5 million. You know?
Okay.
That's easier math that I still can't do. But it's like 0.001% or something, right?
Yeah.
And then you said the people watch this video after that, you know, they're more of the 5 million percent. More people watch this video than will enter in tournaments. Yeah. And that's still tiny percentage of the total population of Tekken.
So that's all my opinion on the balance. My opinions are more close to in terms of popularity, my opinion is kind of have to be considered. I'm a very heavy player, but I also think that this huge large group, large percentage of people, they should get more respected because it's majority. You are very minority.
Mm-hmm.
So what other question?
I was asking you whether all the characters should have the same tools. Like, everyone have the same ball standing tool.
From this two perspective, I say no. Boring.
Wow, so you think that tournament players, it shouldn't be happening. For casual players, it shouldn't happen either.
Yeah.
I think...
Like, one more thing about this country is Namco's goal. They want to have different concept of all the characters, different style. They want to see this kind of fight, blah, 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 blah. Now everyone has got electric, cloudy hopkick, Mishima has it. Of course, not like this, but they don't want to see it. The majority of people who just enjoy this game, they don't want to see it as well.
Yeah. No, and you know, for me, I think it's if all the characters have the same tools, you know, if it's the same character in different skins, I think that's boring to watch. You know, I think it's kind of like, oh, that character looks different, but functionally it's all the same, right? And I think that it forces you to play different styles if you're lacking other tools. An example I'll give of this, right? Like Zafina, her punishment game is trash, actually, right? Like, like she doesn't... does she have a 13-frame while stand? I think she does not have a 13-frame while standing punish. I think she goes from like 11 to like 15 or 16 or something, right? So it's really bad.
Yeah.
But to make up for that, she has the craziest backdash in the game.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, you know, she doesn't have that kind of punishment, but she has this fantastic movement. And now people are saying, yo, maybe she's the best in the game. But she doesn't even have good punishers. How could she be the best in the game?
Yeah.
So I love that exists, right? That you can be lacking stuff, but still be considered the best character in the game because of other stuff, right? And I think that's such a cool thing about Tekken. For Law specifically, I'll say, you know, I wish Law had a rage drive. I basically say Law does not have a rage drive because it's so bad. But he's got like some of the best punishment in the game for block punishing, right? So I'm like, all right, fine. I don't have a rage drive. I don't really have a power crush, but I've got the best punishment in the game. So if I block correctly, I can really excel at this character. So I think that's really cool. I like that the game has that kind of variety. And the tools really define the variety, right? It's not necessarily just like, oh, this guy's capoeira and this guy is, what's Leroy style? I forgot it's called. Whatever it's called, I forgot. But you understand what I mean, right? Different fighting styles don't really matter as much as how the tools actually affect the characters. So yeah, that's basically most of the stuff about balance. What we think, you know, should the characters be on the same tier list? We both say no. We say like optimal goal, yes, but no, right?
I thought you didn't say anything, but you agree with me.
Okay, yeah, I didn't say anything, but I agree with you. I didn't bother saying it because I agreed with you. But I think also, should every character be on the same tier list? I think that it's kind of boring to watch a tournament if all the characters are on the same tier list. Like when Ranked You won TWT with Panda, that was so much more exciting because everyone knew the Panda is not supposed to be a top tier character, you know? So, and I think, you know, a lot of people ask, why did they nerf Bears after Ranked You won? You know, and I think that's why, because this character wasn't meant to be a character that wins tournaments in their eyes. And I'm speaking my opinion here, right? I don't know that that's why they did it, but to me, it makes sense. They wanted this character to be a funny joke kind of character. It's a bear, you know, like what the hell? You're not supposed to win a prestigious tournament with a bear, but this guy did it. And that's what made it so cool. So, you know, it sucks for Ranked You, but it's obviously, the way I think that they want the game to be looked at. And I think when you have that kind of disparity in tier lists, it makes the tournaments more exciting to watch, right? Because anytime you know a character's weaker than another character and you know the other character's top tier and you watch that matchup and this guy's winning, you're like, I'm rooting for that guy. That guy's the underdog. I want him to win because that other character's way too good, you know? Like when Leroy was top tier at Evil Japan, and we had, oh man, what is his name from Japan? The Julia player. I can't remember right now.
Oh, I forgot, man.
Yeah, but that guy, right? Everyone's rooting for him because he can take out all these Leroys right now, right? Yeah. It was crazy. Yeah. It was so much fun to cheer for him. If everyone was at Leroy tier, boring, right? Like, so that's the way I look at it. I don't think that all characters should be on the same tier list like that. Should every character be viable in tournaments? I think everyone wants that to happen. To me, it's like, as long as it's like 80, 90%, I'm okay with it. You know, if there's like a small percentage of characters that's like not tournament viable at all, that sucks, but it would be fun to watch the same way I just said about the other thing, right? And then should every character have the same tools? It's interesting because I can see it for tournament side. I can see definitely not, right? Definitely not. They should not have the same tool. For casual side, I think it's way easier to learn the game if you know, like, oh, minus 14, I get a launcher. Minus 12, I get a knockdown. You know, like, I think if every character has the same thing like that, then it's easier for a casual player, right? So I don't know. That's a little bit weird for me, but I would prefer it stay the way it is currently. You know, like, I think they nailed it as is. All right, so let's switch gears a little bit, right? Obviously, in the last few months, there's been a lot of talk about balance and, you know, the patches and all this. Why do you think people are talking so much more about balance these days?